In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. That was a little bit more strong from you men than I'm used to having right there. Thank you for using your strong voices. It's good to hear those. A little bit surprising to me, but that's good. So we have some good things to share with you this week. We are in the week, which leads up to Christmas, and so we have some special and great things going on. As I've spoken to you for the past 2 weeks, Father Frederick Gruber of the Diocese of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania will be here giving us retreats and all sorts of great opportunities to go to confession, to re-engage with our faith, to propel ourselves into this Christmas season. It's not just a day. We'll hear more about that later. It's a season of Christmas. And so he will arrive on Tuesday, and that night he will give us here in our parish a particular night of reflection upon some Advent mysteries to prepare the way of the Lord into our lives, and give us an opportunity to go to confession so we can all make a good and worthy Holy Communion. Go to confession. Confessions will be held until there are no more penitents. So if you're come, you're guaranteed to go to confession, and you don't even have to go to me. You can go to this great, awesome priest who's from all the way from Pittsburgh, who's an amazing, amazing man. Incredible man. So he'll be here that day for us. If you can't make it on that Tuesday, we've shared this with you for some time, there's an opportunity to go and do the exact same thing. He'll give the exact same mission on Friday, the 23rd, in Fort Sumner. Exact same time, 5:30 p.m., Mass, followed by a talk, and then opportunities to go to confession. This Wednesday will not follow the normal Wednesday schedule. Instead of having the Wednesday Mass here, we'll have a beautiful Mass that Father wants to offer in the traditional way in Puerta de Luna. So if you want to be there for St. Thomas, it'll be a beautiful sung Mass, which will be offered there at that normal time, 5:30, to be able to have the Mass there. And then after that, we will have the normal Christmas schedule. Normal Christmas schedule, because Christmas is on a Sunday, is the same schedule that we have for every weekend. 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. on Sunday. Fort Sumner will also have the same schedule if you happen to be visiting family there, but there's an additional opportunity to go to Mass at midnight, which we're going to call 10 o'clock for our sake. So at 10 p.m., we're going to have a Christmas midnight Mass in Puerto de Luna, a beautiful traditional Mass that will be offered there because we have two priests. Hey, we can do these great things, and Father wishes to do so. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that'll all be available to you. The following week, which is the week of Christmas itself, every day at 5:30, Father will offer Mass in Fort Sumner and give a beautiful talk on the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. Every single night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there in Fort Sumner. He gave us a retreat last year in Santa Rosa. Now it's the time he said he wished to go to Fort Sumner to offer a mission for them. And so it'll be offered there if you'd like to be a part of it for any of the time that he'll be here. And last, if I could have Miss Luz Baca come forward. Miss Luz Baca, if you'll come forward. We have something to share with you. Luz, I just want to thank you for everything that you've done for us here in our parish, but particularly for what you've done for us here in our nation in offering your son. Is in good hands because he's in God's hands, not because he's in the U.S. Navy's hands. He is? Oh, yeah. Whoa, I didn't see you. How do you mind the Lord? More care of you. The model of Ascension is Our Lady. And so I give you here this beautiful image of Our Lady so you can keep it there. Remember, it just as Mary's at prayer right here. So must you always be, and that's where you will find your strength in prayer for your son. Thanks be to God. And a little copy of the novena, surrender even for your son. The psalm response from Psalm 22 is, "Let the Lord enter, he is the King of glory." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. During this time, we hear the words of in all of our readings, in essence, during this time, asking in this way, or reminding us, that the Virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. Three times we hear this. And the Church puts this message before you and I today because it's important for you and I to hear these words and to obtain from them the grace of realizing that God will indeed be with us. The first time is in the book of Isaiah, where we have that reading about Ahaz, who's the great king of Israel. What is Ahaz doing right here? Ahaz is given an opportunity, asked by God, saying, "Ahaz, you're the king, you represent all of Israel, trust me. Trust me that I am going to take care of you and bring you through this difficulty that you see absolutely no way out." And what is the response of Ahaz? Ahaz, the king, rejects God's offer to trust. He rejects the offer to trust. But he dresses it up in a way that maybe you don't recognize it if you're not seeing what he's doing, because he dresses it up in a very churchy way, in a very religious way of rejecting God's offer. What does he say? He says, "Oh no, far be it from me. I will not ask for a sign from the Lord." For he knows that it is a sin to tempt the Lord. You see, our Lord says something similar. In the gospel, he says this. He says, "A wicked and perverse generation," says the Lord, says our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "A wicked and perverse generation asks for a sign, seeks a sign." But here, it's not the generation seeking a sign. Here, what's going on is God is saying, "I wish to give you a sign." And so what Ahaz is saying here, he's saying, "No matter what, God, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, I'm not going to listen to you. I've already made up my mind. I have my decision. I've set my plan before me. I know what it is that I'm going to do. I've got my plan. And I'm going my way. So don't give me a sign. I've already made a decision." Yet God is here speaking to the prophet, and he's saying, begging Ahaz to trust me. He says, "Trust me, ask for something big." In the scripture, it actually says, "Ask for something as high as the sky," or "asking for something which is deep as the netherworld." Whatever you ask, I'm going to do it, because I want you to know that I'm taking care of you, that I've got this all together. God is saying, "I wish to do something big. I want to work a big miracle for you." But Ahaz the king is locked within his fears. He's afraid. He can't understand what it is that God is actually trying to do here. And so he wants to go his own way. He's made his own decision. He wants to seek out a way where he will bring about the salvation of his people, where he will get the glory for making sure that it all happens. And he wants to do so away from God, apart from God. We see a similar situation in the gospel as well. The characters are different. The character is St. Joseph, our patron. Rather, he's on that side. St. Joseph. He's our father in faith. And so he's sent with a very difficult situation here, a mystery that's before him. Joseph is betrothed to the Blessed Virgin Mary, which legally means they've already gone through all the steps. Legally, they're actually married. They haven't gone through the ceremony, but that's the way it worked in the Jewish culture. He's already fully married to her. They just need to actually go through the ceremony. There's no difference. He's building a house to take his wife into there. And all of a sudden, he realizes that there's been changes within her body. He sees what's going on. Mary hasn't shared with him anything about it. You see, she's with child. And he knows he, the pure, the just one, has had no relations with her. He fully intends to never have relations with her ever, to maintain her purity. He knows it's not from him, and he sees that what's going on here, even though he hasn't taken her into his home yet. St. Joseph, he is a just man. He is, not only that, a man who knows the law, who knows what's supposed to be right. He knows that he doesn't wish to touch anything that's related to sin, but he's also a man of God. He knows that Mary's virtue is absolutely unstained and perfect. So he doesn't doubt her for a moment that she's been unfaithful to him. He doesn't understand exactly how that's happened, but he begins to piece things together because he knows the scriptures. What does scripture say? He knows that Mary is singular. He didn't feel like he was worthy to take her to begin with. And so as he begins to piece things together, he recalls all the scriptures that he's gone through. And he realizes that she's the one who's going to bear the Messiah. He realizes that she has the Christ. She hasn't told that to him, but he realizes that because he sees how all these things are being fulfilled in her. So if he knows all these things, why does he want to divorce her quietly? It's because St. Joseph is afraid. He thinks he's unworthy of Mary. St. Joseph, there was a contest, as we know this, there was a contest. Many people wanted to take the Blessed Virgin Mary to be their spouse. And so they lined up a bunch of men who were there ready to take her on, and they put a trial to see who is it that God wishes to be the spouse of this perfect one who's been in the temple worshiping God since she was just a little, little tiny girl. Who's going to be worthy of this? And what emerged was the miracle that, as you see Joseph's budding rod right there where the flowers are coming out, where the lilies are coming out of his staff there, that was the sign that was given that it was St. Joseph and not any of the other ones that God wanted there. He's seen that miracle in there, yet he still doesn't believe that he's worthy to take her. And even beyond that, now he says, she's the one who's going to bear the Christ, the Messiah, the one who's been prophesied. I can't do that. That's beyond my ability. I can't be in such a holy house with such holy people to have God in my house like that. What am I supposed to do? What's the use of this? And so Joseph, because he fears he can't take care of this woman, Mary, and this child, Christ, this Messiah who is there, he looks at all of his weakness, all the ways in which he feels that he himself doesn't measure up. So God sends an angel. And what does that angel Gabriel say? He has one mission, a mission from God, which is to bring courage to somebody who has none at this moment, who feels like he doesn't amount to anything. And he confirms to Joseph these words. He says, "Joseph, you're right. You're absolutely right. You see it correctly. Her child is not conceived of any man. It was given by the Holy Spirit. He says, Joseph, you are seeing things right. You see right there that this child is going to be the Messiah, the one who's going to save Israel. You understand that correctly. But let me tell you where you're wrong. You're wrong in thinking that you don't measure up. You're wrong in thinking that this is something which is beyond you. You're wrong in thinking that you are unworthy of this. You're wrong. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God chose you to be the wife, or the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why you got that beautiful miracle that happened there. And he wishes you to fulfill this mystery as well, to live within this. So don't be afraid to go forward. God is with you. God is with the mother. God is with the child. And God will fulfill everything. It's not about you. God will take care of everything. You just stay there. When Joseph hears those words, his soul is strengthened. And he says, I have no idea how this is going to work. And I don't see how I amount it. But if God says so, okay, I'm going to trust. And I'm just going to go forward. We all feel the same when we're in a bind. When we're stressed, when our resources are strapped, when our frustrations begin to mount, what happens within us is we begin to rely on our own ability and say, I've got to move the ball forward on my own. I've got to take it all by myself. We begin to remember all those times within our lives where people have let us down, where others have not fulfilled our expectations, where we've been hung out to dry in so many occasions where people have failed us. And so we get locked into our own understanding that I've got to be the one who looks out for myself. That everything in the world depends upon me. You've been there? And so we say, well, I'm going to do what I want then. And what we see is that sometimes that mentality, it works out. That sometimes we skate by in some sort of way. Sometimes we fall flat on our faces in embarrassment. But no matter how the result of whatever it is that we put before us ends up, it always ends up that we are unhappier. That we're more anxious about what's coming in the future. That we realize that our resources go less and less, that our strength diminishes in so many ways. And all this self-reliance saying, I got to do it on my own. I got to figure out the way by myself. I got to take everything upon my own shoulders. It drains us. Because we know eventually we're not going to have the strength to go forward. And then it's going to come with a big crash. We're going to let everybody down. And they're all going to see it. This is the mentality that King Ahaz had. This is the way that he was thinking about the world. And eventually what happened is that because Ahaz rejected God in his way here, that he was indeed defeated. That his plans didn't work out because they never could have worked out apart from God. Yet God's plan was still proven true because he made a promise to Israel that he would come through. We see St. Joseph here who did the exact opposite, though. He relied upon God, and because of it, he was greatly rewarded. He had no idea what was coming forward. He just knew he had to stay there, and so he did. His life didn't get easier. From the moment he took Mary into his house, it only got more difficult. Only more difficulties that he couldn't even imagine would have ever come, dangers facing his family. But through it all, God protected him, but also to complete and perfect care of his family. God always gave him just enough warning to get out of town. Always gave him just as much advance notice to be able to do the next thing, but he didn't give him 3 steps ahead of time so that he could make these big grand plans. He just had to remain and continue on trusting in God that he was going to make things work out because he called him to here and he affirmed him there. So he always remembered that in his past and kept going forward. Through all the hardship that he went through, St. Joseph and his family, they were absolutely truly happy. Not because they had all the plans worked out, but because they knew who was going to make sure they worked out. They knew that they had to rely upon God for everything. They knew that God would indeed change all their plans. But if they listened and acted, if they trusted and let God enter freely into their lives, then God would make sure that everything worked out in his way, in his time, for the best of all possible situations, even in the midst of hardship, anxiety, and suffering. This week when I was gone from you, I was graced to go to New York. I've never been to New York in my life. Maybe never will go back. And there I directed 150 young men and women between the ages of 23 and in their 30s who are really strongly pursuing God and wanting to make sure that college students all across the country really encounter him in the Fellowship of Catholic University students, to direct them through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, to be their director. And in that time, leading them through all these mysteries that are hopefully supposed to help them encounter God and God's will for their lives and to learn what God is actually speaking to them in the silence of their hearts through prayer, we always end with one final meditation. And the final meditation is a prayer that we end with. It's a prayer to attain or to receive, a meditation to receive divine love. which is a prayer to realize how deeply it is that you yourselves are loved by God, a prayer to let God's love actually penetrate into the depths of your soul, to be at peace with Him, peace in His love. And St. Ignatius wrote these meditations, received them from God, really, and put them together 500 years ago, but a particular prayer he wrote for this last meditation. A prayer to receive this particular grace from God. It's a prayer to really to surrender our will to God. It's a prayer to stop fighting God. To what, as we said over and over again throughout the retreat, to just let God be God. To let God take care of everything for us. It's a prayer of the Sushipe. The Sushipe prayer. At the back of the church, right there next to the holy water font, I left a half sheet with you with it there. It's just like two sentences, right? It's a powerful prayer. The prayer says this. It says, O God, take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own, everything you have given to me. To you, Lord, I then return it. Everything is yours. Do with it whatever it is that you will. Give me only your love and your grace, for that shall be riches enough for me. Amen. It's a simple prayer, but what does it mean to say it? It means to say this, to break it down. It says, Lord, take my liberty, which is to say, take and receive all my freedom that I've so often used so poorly to decide who it is that I want to be, so that I can instead become the person that you, Lord, want me to be. It says, take, Lord, my memory, which is to mean take and receive my sense of all my past and whatever my past meant, you get to decide. Take my sense of who I am up to this point. Take and receive all my joys and that I cling to. Take and receive all those wounds that still linger within me that need to be healed, so that I can just live in hope that you're going to take care of me and do good for me. It's to say, Lord, and take and receive all of my understanding. That is, take and receive my ability to imagine all those possibilities that may come for me in the future. My ability to rely upon my own insights, my own ideas, my own theories about how the world works, about how I work. And instead, Lord, teach me just to rely on your truths just as you give them. We pray, Lord, take my entire will, which is to say, take and receive all of my love for my family members and my friends. Take all my love for everything that exists within creation. Take all of my likes, my dislikes, my desires, my ability to make choices from day to day, and all the feelings that tend to support or to undermine all these choices that I make. I want you to direct everything that's interior to me, Lord. We pray there, take, Lord, and receive all that I have and all that I possess, which is to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever I have, I recognize that you're the one who gave it to me. And I know for sure that I don't use it well. I trust that in surrendering my all to you, that it will be purified, it will be made whole, and it will be mine in the best of all possible ways, because if I do that and give it to you, then you and I are going to share everything. Everything that is rightly precious to me. You're going to make it better, because we'll share it. We'll be with it together. We pray to you, Lord, I return everything that I have. It's all yours. So do with it, do with me, rather, whatever it is that you want. Give me only your grace, which is to say, Lord, give me your strength, your life living within me. Give me, Lord, secondly, an ability to love you. That is, to accept how it is that you love me perfectly and that you desire my best in every single situation. That'll be riches enough for me. And what I mean by that, Lord, is to say that possessing you, you, Lord Jesus, are enough for me. We're just 1 week away from Christmas, less than 7 days. In that time, you and I are going to be in the midst of Christmas with all of its joys and all of its sorrows, all the joys that come from being with family, the joys, the presents, everything that's there, but the sadness as well of those who are not with us, those who are distant, the wounds that we still bear in family and relationships. It's all going to be present for us in just a few days. And during these 4 weeks of Advent, what we've attempted to do here at Mass during this time is really to deepen our prayer, which is our conversation, our relationship with God, to deepen our ability to rely upon Him, to deepen our surrender, to let God just be God in our lives, to let Him be the Lord of everything that goes on within my heart, to open wide the door of our hearts, to let in He who is the King of glory. Jesus, He just wants to come to you and I as a precious little baby king, a Santo Niño. And so no matter what it is that's going on emotionally or within your life, as you enter into Christmas, Jesus just wants to get into your souls. No matter how wounded you are today, no matter how great the struggles are that face you in this time, Jesus just wants you to know that you don't have to rely merely upon yourselves and your own ability. He will take care of you if you just let Him. That's the reason why He comes. And so if you want that a little bit more, I give you this one final prayer of preparation, the Sushi Bay St. Ignatius. Whether you have it with you right now because you grabbed it on the way in, or whether you're just going to grab it on the way out, at least within the silence of your heart, mouth these words with me as I pray that one last time, that prayer which we described and said as the meditation, to pray it as well as St. Joseph did, even if you yourself are coming from a place like King Ahaz is. To pray this prayer. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. All that I have and call my own, you've given it all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is riches enough for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.